Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
Bob, that sounds so good to hear that again.
Hey, Doug.
I've been gone for a while.
Welcome back to the States.
I really feel home now.
Yeah.
And you know why?
Wow.
Because I know that right now, Takako is at home and Nicole has just stopped dancing to your intro.
That's pretty neat.
So now I know I'm home sitting in Friday night on Bob Inyer Live. Nationwide on the Information Radio Network. I got a ton of stories, Bob, but I want to get some calls from the callers so we'll feel at home. The number to call if you want to participate in the program is 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.
All right, Doug, I want to preempt your first story.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question.
All right.
The new Vatican policy, you know how the Vatican has made some adjustments to the bishop's policy on priest sexual abuse?
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to know is this. By the new policy,
okay,
if a priest gets a sex change, is he allowed to remain a nun?
Well, you know, I haven't studied the policy in depth, but I would think that there probably is a provision in there.
I haven't heard yet, but that is the piercing question.
Well, the way things are going over there in Vatican City, they would have to make some provision in that direction anyway.
Yeah, and one of our radio stations, I think, are having technical difficulties, so when we get back on in that city, I think I'm going to re-ask you that question.
Okay, you re-ask me that question?
All right.
Maybe in between, download that policy real quick.
Okay.
So I can review it.
All right.
Search for transgendered.
Well, you know what made me think of that? This heading off of the Drudge Report.
Oh, yeah?
Boston Globe.
Yeah.
Former nun jailed for assault.
Oh, no.
Former nun jailed for assault. I'm picturing some drunk guy with a 5 o'clock shadow in a bar slugged somebody, and it turns out he was a nun.
Turns out he was
a few years ago.
Man.
I don't know. Former nun jailed for assault.
Oh, man. So. Well, Bob, I got to tell you, the big news, obviously, this whole week, and, you know, I have a weekly perspective since I only do a weekly show, and I only sit in with you once a week, but the big news was the election. But there's bigger news, I think, than the election. That's been hashed out.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And the huge news is the vote today at the student council in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
The UN student council.
The UN.
Yeah. They voted unanimously.
How did that vote go?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they voted unanimously for,
for the weapons inspections in Iraq.
Is that
to resume
and for strict rules of strict compliance on the part of Iraq?
Right. The inspectors can go anywhere, even Saddam Hussein's palaces.
Right.
His bedroom.
His bathroom.
His bathroom. They go anywhere.
Where he keeps the goats. Everywhere.
Anywhere.
They can go anywhere. So and the rules for strict compliance lead me to believe that this is just a stepping stone. This was a political PR move that George W. had to get past.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll just throw the question out to you and to the audience. What do you think the odds are that we're going to war with Iraq?
Well, I'm against war with Iraq.
You're against war with Iraq?
Yeah, I don't think we should use the word war anymore. That's overstating the case.
Okay.
I think we should simply call it a military exercise.
Yeah.
Okay, with live ammo. But it's just a military exercise. This stuff is not war. This is, you know, the Gulf War, even Afghanistan, was that a war?
It's
a military exercise with live ammo. And, you know, you got to test the new weapons that come online.
It's been, 10 years since
the Gulf War.
Since we really got after it.
You got to test new technology.
Yeah, I bet we got a lot of new stuff.
Does ammo, when you got it in these warehouses, does it last forever?
I know. It's got to have a shelf life, that ammo.
Right. So
you
got to rotate your inventory.
And to do that,
so
you need to...
Saddam Hussein has given us an opportunity. He's given us an opportunity to another military exercise with live ammo. So I'm against calling it a war with Iraq.
Okay, all right, but you are for military exercises on Iraqi soil.
Police action.
Okay.
Whatever you want to call it, I don't care.
I was talking to an Israeli national, and he agreed with me that he said, forget the six-day war. He said, this will be a three-day war.
A three-day war.
He said, as fast as you can drive to Baghdad is how long the war will last.
Yeah. And, you know, when when you go after a country like Iraq, a terrorist-supporting country, it's good for the country. It's like a shot of a drink. It's like all 26 cities winning Monday Night Football on the same night.
Yeah.
That's what, it's like the climax of a Mel Gibson movie. It's like watching God drown Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess it's not quite that good.
Maybe not that spectacular.
No, but it feels good to bomb Saddam.
Yeah. And did you hear what Ariel Sharon said earlier this week?
What?
In fact, just a couple days ago. He says that he called on the international community to target Iran as soon as the imminent conflict with Iraq is complete.
Now that sounds like General Patton to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't that?
Sharon. Yeah, it does.
That sounds like Patton. After we destroyed the Nazis, he said, now it's on to Moscow.
Right, well, we got the troops here.
Let's get the rescue. Let's communists. And if we would have saved, what, 100 million people?
Countless millions.
From slaughter and, not all slaughtered, but slaughter and in slavery.
In slavery,
for half
yeah.
a century.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would have, and it was a good idea. And this is a good idea, too, but
well,
Iraq
is a nice place to start and warm up, get into shape,
yeah.
get the new ammo to the front of the casement there, get it
right.
all ready, and make sure everything works, work out the bugs and the glitches in our high-tech stuff.
Right.
And then we go on to Iran, and there's some others I would suggest, but we don't have time to get into all that.
Right. So it's good to identify the guilty in this war on terror. And then to remove them. That's a good thing. It's a godly thing. And so we're rooting for the war.
Yeah, or the police,
action. You think Saddam will comply?
With the weapons inspectors?
Yeah. Think he'll show them everything that we want to see?
Well, no, I don't think he can.
No?
No, I don't think I don't
There's
see
too much.
He
can't even remember where he put it
all.
He
doesn't even know where he hid it all. He's going to have to tell him no at some point.
Right.
So this is really just an exercise
yeah.
because of the student council. You have to work within the parameters of the unstudent council
right.
in
that,
New York.
That's a good point.
But I think W already knows what he's going to do.
Hey, and Doug, we've got this new technology. This week, the military, forget about shooting down ICBMs. Forget that. 2 years ago with these kill vehicles
yeah.
that we send up, really awesome.
I know. I love that stuff.
2 years ago, we shot down a rocket with a laser.
Yeah.
That was extraordinary. First time that had ever been done.
Right.
This week, we shot down an artillery shell. Tracked it with a radar and shot down a shell.
Now, they travel quite a bit faster than missiles.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot faster than a missile.
They're like a big bullet.
It's like shooting down a bullet with a laser.
And the liberals said you could never hit a bullet with a bullet.
That's what they said.
And so right-thinking conservatives said, all right, we'll use a laser.
<All right. laughs>
How about that?
And we want to welcome those of you listening in our radio audience to Bob Benyart Live. This is Bob Benyart and Doug McBurney. We've got a commercial break here coming up in a minute. Doug, when we get back, we'll take our calls, 800-8-NYART, and I have a question about the Vatican policy. Listener-supported radio. That's what we've got right here, listener-supported radio. I want to thank you guys, those of you in the audience who helped this show stay on the air. Bob Benyart Live, I have the honor of pastoring Denver Bible Church. And if you're in the Denver area, please come on out and visit Sunday morning or Sunday evening for Sunday school, church, Sunday night Bible study. We have a great time. If you're outside of the Denver area, you might, in another state, you might want to participate and get our monthly Bible study albums.
Yeah.
For $34.95 a month, you get an album mailed to you automatically and money back guarantee.
Yeah.
So if you don't like an album, send it back, money back guarantee. And it's fun. From what we hear from people all around the country, it's fun. Plus, you help Bob Benyart Live reach more and more people.
Yeah. I got three business cards right here in my hand.
Three.
I spent a lot of time on the airplane.
All right.
And I met three different business travelers mm-hmm. who I'm going to be sending out some resources.
Really?
Yeah. So I got to get with you after the
some
program.
Some Bob Benyart Live stuff?
Oh, yeah. I met a guy on an airplane, Bob. Mm-hmm. Being a Christian, you almost have to operate undercover. If
right.
you strike up a conversation with someone on a plane.
You got to be sly as a fox.
Yeah, you just never know where they're coming from.
Right.
And at one point in the conversation, he was telling me about his 18-year-old daughter. And I said, you know, my daughter's really young. Boy, when she gets 18, I hope I'm able to deal with it. It seems so dangerous for young women, and they could get into trouble. Don't
this
you worry
a commercial,
all the time.
By the way, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, this is a commercial. Anyway,
this is
he
the way
says,
we always do commercials.
He says, my 18-year-old daughter, I think she'll be okay because she's dedicated her life to Christ. And I'm
whoa,
like, praise the Lord.
Christian, praise the Lord. Hey, now our phone number here, 1-800-836-9278. If you want to order something, call us. And then, for those of you tuning in on the internet, hey, Doug, by the way, that's cool. Thank you.
You got so many resources. I just got to figure out what to send everybody.
And you know what I do when I get people's cards on airplanes or wherever?
Yeah.
I jot down what it was we talked about on the card. So if it's criminal justice or the death penalty or the resurrection or the Bible, overview of the Bible.
You know what's great?
Because then I get back and I forget.
Yeah, but you know what's great is you got something in your inventory, in your arsenal, so to speak, to cover just about any topic that you can talk about on the airplane.
Mm. You know? That's a good point.
So you sketch down. Now I've learned a valuable lesson, so the next time I'm out, I'll take some less cryptic notes, and I'll be able to actually decide, do they need God and the death penalty? Do they need Mount Moriah? Do they need the plot? And I'll call 1-888-836-9278, and I know that you'll have everything I need.
Instead of saying, like, row 3A window, just put a note. All right, Doug, right after this question, let's go to the phones. We'll start in Wisconsin. Our number is 1-800-836-9278. All right, Doug, earlier before we were on the air on radio, I was talking about the new Vatican policy. You know, the bishops had their sex abuse.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I've been following
with
that.
With the priest.
It's depressing.
And so the Vatican sort of watered it down a little bit now.
They watered down that?
They watered down the bishop's policy. So it's a little watered down now from what was already a little watered down.
It was a little wishy-washy in the first place.
Because, you know, what people were calling for was zero tolerance.
Right.
For priests who molest kids. And really, we need zero tolerance for bishops who put child molesters in new churches.
How about that?
How about zero tolerance for those bishops?
Man.
But anyway, here's the question I have for the Vatican's new policy. If a priest gets a sex change operation, can he remain a nun? That's what I want to know.
Well,
I want to know if he'd be booted out of the convent.
I haven't had a chance to review the policy page by page, but
all right.
I'm certain that they allude to that type of situation in there somewhere.
Yeah, if a priest gets a sex change operation, can he remain a nun?
Now, what could That's possibly what make you think of a bizarro question like that?
That's what I want to know.
Well, how does your mind work?
I want to know. I mean, and where's the zero tolerance for bishops who knowingly put sex predators, sick them on innocent churches?
Well, zero tolerance
families.
Is tough, Bob. I mean, you proved that last night with your interview. By the way, I got to hear it was a great interview.
Morality and Media.
The guy was
Bob Peters.
Great guy.
Yeah,
right up
fun.
Until the last 3.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
When he proved that even he doesn't have a zero tolerance policy against pornography.
Well, Doug, I've been saying this for 10 years on the air, and that's one of the few times I've got to demonstrate it, that Christian leaders are pro-pornography.
Yeah.
The Christian leaders, they only talk about hardcore XXX obscenity and child pornography. That's all they talk about.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, well, how about just normal pornography?
Playboy, Penthouse.
Would
how
you
about
join
that?
With me in saying that the government should prohibit pornography, like Playboy? I can't do that. No, can't do that. Well, what do you mean you can't do that? If the Christian leaders concede pornography, you think we're going to win on hardcore?
Yeah.
Triple X? When the Christian leaders say you have a right to sexually exploit women on the pages of Playboy, that Hugh Hefner has a right to exploit the daughters of America sexually, public nudity, public. If the Christian leaders, if that's their position.
Oh, man.
How are we going to win?
That was such an awesome point. I don't think the point has ever been made on the air. I don't think that point's ever been made, and it needs to be
not
made.
Not in a debate.
No.
Not in a debate with a Christian
leader.
It's
never been exposed in the way you exposed it.
Yeah, not with a Christian leader. Right, right. And so, anyway, I like Bob Peters, president of Morality and Media, But I think these guys don't think through their strategy.
But, Bob, the bottom line is he wants to maintain political viability for his organization.
It's sort of like Focus on the Family saying that homosexuals should have equal rights.
Yeah.
That was their slogan for a year. Mm-hmm. Homosexuals should have equal rights. Focus on the Family's lobbying for equal rights for homosexuals. What's with that? It was supposed to be a crime for 3,500 years.
That was so awesome when you made that point. That these things have been criminal for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And now the supposed moral leaders in our political life.
They agree with Hillary.
They agree with Hillary.
They side with Hillary that homos and pornography should be legal. What else? But, well, and you know what? We talked for 15 minutes after the show.
Oh, yeah?
Bob Peters and I. And it came down to if he said pornography should be criminal also, even though he might be persuaded to believe that.
I'm sure you could convince him if you were given just a little more
time. Well, that's what he was saying. He's not 100% against that, but you would be so ridiculed in the media if you said that.
Right.
And I said, so?
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think? They like you?
Yeah.
What do you think? Politically incorrect? Bill Maher likes you?
Right. They hate us already.
Right.
So why give them even an inch?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Should we go to the phones?
We'll go to the phones. By the way, folks, the number to call, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And we're going to go to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. Bert, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob and Doug.
Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Well, we're doing okay, you know.
Great.
Except for the fact that Christian leaders are okay with pornography. That's kind of depressing.
Well, that's very depressing.
It's not that they would make pornography themselves. They're just pro-pornography.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You know, like pro-choice. It's not that I'd have an abortion. I'm just pro-choice. And that's what the Christian position on pornography it is. It's not that we're going to produce pornography ourselves at our Christian ministry. We're just pro-pornography, the right to produce and distribute pornography.
Well, the Lord says we're supposed to be either hot or cold. You take a lukewarm stance, you're going to be spit out.
Ooh.
So that's pretty much their demise at the end.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not saying that a lot of these Christian leaders are not Christian.
No, right.
But
they're Christians.
They don't know how to strategize. They don't understand that when you concede the foundation to the enemy, you're never going to win.
Hmm.
You're not even going to have very many victories.
Exactly.
And how many tens of millions of Christians pick up on that? I've heard it on Focus on the Family with James Dobson.
I can't believe that.
I've heard that, they have free speech.
Yeah.
They have free speech, but when it gets to hardcore pornography, XXX, then it's obscenity, and that's what we've got to stop.
Yeah, the infiltration is definitely detrimental.
Yeah.
And it works, you know, little by little. That's the unfortunate part until it gets way out of hand.
Yeah. Hey, Bert, if this radio show was bigger, if we were in like 50 cities, I'd ask people in the audience, I'd give out Focus's address and ask people to write James Dobson and say, please stand against a pornographer's right to sexually exploit women.
Yeah.
Please stand with Bob and Yurt Live and call for Playboy to be prohibited by the government.
Yeah. Illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
Illegal. Yeah. Pornography to be illegal. Not that we could achieve it, but we can't achieve stopping abortion, but we still say it's murder and it should be outlawed.
Exactly. And that's the point. That's one of the reasons that I called you tonight. Mm. That exact point is basically happening here locally in my area.
What's going on?
Well, as you know, I'm a subscriber to your Bible studies, and
great.
They are not just fun. They are an ultimate blast. I have had more fun with my Christian friends listening to your tapes and sharing God's word than I can, you know, even begin to put into words.
I'll give you an hour to cut that out.
Oh.
Thank you, Bert. That's encouraging.
Well, What I wanted to say is I listened to the Abraham and Isaac tapes, and in there both you had mentioned that I assume it was a year ago that you and Doug had a court date for going to a candlelight vigil and preaching repentance.
I remember that one.
Saint Matthew, and you said that there were charges brought against you.
Oh, there were charges, all right.
There were some charges.
Did we? We were arrested for a few hours.
We were actually handcuffed and actually rescued from a mob of raving, frothing homosexuals.
That's right. When we got arrested that night, I actually felt rather appreciative.
I was glad to be arrested.
Did they give you the free complimentary AIDS test?
No.
No.
Oh,
but,
okay. Well,
the free complimentary AIDS test is... Are you a homo? And if you answer yes, then it's 90% positive.
Okay.
Likely. Well, but anyway, yeah, Doug and I went to, we were arrested. We were handcuffed, thrown in a cell.
Should we not tell him how the trial ended because he's following it on the tapes?
I think we should. Hey, Bert, that was about four years ago?
Oh, is it that long? Okay.
It was a while back.
About 4 years ago.
Was
okay.
It really?
Yeah.
When was Matthew Shepard murdered? It was within weeks of his murder. Anyway.
Yes.
And we went
a while back.
We went up to Wyoming, and we called for the execution of the murderers.
Right, just to show that we are we're
equal opportunity executioners.
There you go. Equal opportunity.
Right. But but anyway, there was a candlelight vigil on behalf of Matthew Shepard.
Right.
And so we went there, and we were out in the fringes of the group. And we had pro-life signs, right?
Yeah, yeah. Our signs said, I have to try to remember what our signs said.
All we said, and we had it on tape.
That's
taped
right.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
All we said was, know your pro-choice rights.
Know your pro-choice
That's
rights.
That's all we said, Bert. That's all we said, know your pro-choice rights. But we were carrying pictures of slaughtered babies.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
And there was just this rage. We've done this elsewhere. Different cities know your pro-choice rights. They think you're a pro-abort, and they clap and they cheer, and then they turn around and they see you've got a picture of a slaughtered baby, and they become enraged.
Pretty effective.
Right.
So then they arrested us, put us in a cell, and I had to call my wife, and we were handcuffed.
And we actually got Bob's cell phone out of – where was it now? It was in your pants pocket, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. We managed – it was like Houdini or something.
We actually had to turn the video camera off because we didn't want it known exactly what we did there to –
We got the cell phone out, and we had it like up against the wall, and we were pushing
Bob
numbers with
dialed
our nose.
With his nose, yeah.
And I talked to my wife, told her, we're in jail. We're probably making an illegal phone call, but we're okay. The homosexuals did not get us.
Okay.
And then we went to trial.
We did go to trial.
Was it a jury trial?
Well, it never made it to
We had a trial to the court.
Far.
Yeah, we were
did
on
it?
Trial.
Yeah.
Wow. You remember we were on trial?
I remember it was brief, though, if I remember correctly.
I remember the guy in the back of the room who was being arraigned on another case.
Oh, yeah,
and he said to his girlfriend under his breath, because the judge was a woman.
Yeah.
And he said, she's a lush. He just whispered it. And the judge said, I heard that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it turns out that guy's family owns a bar.
Oh.
And he said that she was in that bar every Wednesday night drinking margaritas for a year and a half, and she got smashed every Wednesday night.
What was her name? Something. DeSoto or DeSilvio?
Something about like... Yeah, it was some kind of a Hispanic name.
Yeah.
Something meant cat or something.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, like the big cat or the fat cat.
Desgrande
boca. I don't remember. Nada en cabeza. Cabeza something.
Cabeza.
Cabeza. I forget her name. Anyway,
cabeza.
Bert,
anyway.
We want to get to your story.
Yeah. The homos bugging you, Bert?
I just wanted to let you know, I just sent you a copy of a cover letter and press release that was sent to the local churches in this community. And there is a non-denominational church that is basically having a coming-out-of-the-closet party and accepting gay and lesbian couples and singles and everything.
Oh,
into
does
their
it have
membership.
Their phone number in there?
Those are the worst kind.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's Bob and Yart Live, and we're in the midst of a live commercial here.
Commercial break.
A commercial break, and this is listener-supported radio, so if you want to do your part to help attempt, at least, to salvage Western civilization, you can call and order some products, 888 888- 8-N-Yard, 888-836-9278.
Moving the world to the right.
Yes, and unapologetically, and not conceding the foundational issues
right.
that are important to ultimate victory.
Yeah, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's criminal to sexually exploit women. Then it's criminal. We don't have to be embarrassed.
No.
Who? What will Bill Maher think of me?
Will he invite me back on his program?
Yeah, I remember being on some show, and I know this is the commercial, but
this is the commercial.
We always do show in the commercial.
Yeah.
But I remember being on some show, and I said it should be against the law to display nudity in public. That should be just against the law.
Right.
And so the host very mockingly said, oh, and the David in Rome?
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, either put clothes on him or grind him up to powder. That's your two choices.
Right. I want a mohair blanket or a sledgehammer.
One or the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's it.
So we don't concede the foundational issues.
No, and the same thing with all the artwork. I don't care if it's from the ancient Romans and Greeks or if it's from the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go to the White House. Yeah. You think George W. Bush has cleaned it up any?
At least certain portions, I'm sure. But
you go to the White House, and there are these huge pictures of naked women. Huge. I mean 25 feet wide and 15 feet high.
And those didn't just come in with Clinton. Those were there before.
No, they've been there for a long time.
They've been there for a while. Even during the Reagan administration.
Well, and you know, they have to be there because, well, you know, Pocahontas and all.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah. Right.
She got baptized.
Okay.
So you got to be historically accurate.
Right.
If the natives don't know enough to get dressed, then the Christians tell them, hey, get dressed.
Get dressed, you ignorant savages. How about that?
And then normally the women say, you know, finally.
Yeah, no kidding. Now we're not enslaved by these barbaric men.
Yeah.
Because we're able to cover ourselves with some modesty and decency.
So what other show do you listen to that you get commercials like this?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
We're not always just hawking products here.
No.
We're trying to make a point.
So, but if you call and order something, we could continue.
Yeah.
To do more and more commercials.
And they're so fun.
1-888-8-N-YARD. All right, before we go back to the phones, we've got this one pressing question to ask Doug McBurney. Uh-oh. Doug, if a priest gets a sex change, is he allowed to remain a nun?
Is he allowed to remain a nun?
That is the question for the Vatican's new policy.
The new policy there.
Actually, I'm glad that the Vatican has said, this was the front page of the Wall Street Journal two days ago.
Yeah.
The Vatican is drafting another policy saying that homosexuals should not be allowed to be priests.
Really?
Big.
No
way.
That's
big.
Really?
That's the story.
Now, this is still on the drawing board, though.
Yeah, it's not out. But it's leaked out.
Okay, well, I think that in that, what do they call it, an encyclical? Or I don't know what they call it when they write policy up there.
And when the Pope speaks ex cathedra.
Yeah. Well, that's where he'll address this whole idea of transgendered priests and nuns who punch people out in bars.
In there.
He'll address that type of thing. Because obviously the Catholic Church, if they're going to be a tolerant organization, they need to have policies on various situations. And and they are no doubt a very tolerant organization.
Okay. 800-8-N-YARD. 1-800-836-9278 in back to Wisconsin. Bert, so you've got a non-denominational church?
Well, it's not one that I belong to.
What is it called?
It's UCC.
UCC.
United Christian Church.
Okay.
Right. It's fairly
ambiguous.
I sent you the cover letter and the press release. They sent it around to all the community churches. My church received it. And they welcome responses.
Uh-huh.
And when I brought it to my pastor's attention that I would like to respond to it, he informed me that anyone who responded to this letter in any type of negative fashion, even just preaching repentance, the gay and lesbian couples decided to take it upon themselves to visit these churches, sit in the front pews, and make out during the sermon.
Oh, is that right? Well, try that at Denver Bible Church. Yeah. I'd like to see that.
We got enough police officers who are armed that it would certainly turn into a very interesting service.
Yeah, and this is the problem, though. The police were called in several situations when this occurred, and they said they couldn't do anything.
Wait a minute. Are homos necking? Isn't that still illegal?
I don't know.
But it's not. It's also not illegal to grab a homo by the ankles and drag him out of your church if he's necking. Well, that's not illegal either. You can take people out of private property.
Yeah. I think you should do the Christian thing and throw them out of church.
Well, if they materialize in this church, I will be the first one up to that front row. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that you know,
wear rubber gloves.
That is. Isn't that really? Doesn't that point out how gross and how defiled these people are, that in order to respond to a witness, a heartfelt, and then they claim to be tolerant, but if you give a heartfelt witness against them toward repentance, saying that they should repent of their homosexual lifestyle, their response is to have a vulgar display in the front row of your church.
My point exactly, and the irony was that I received these tapes, and you saying that you go there, you know, talking repentance to these people, and you wind up getting charges filed against you and thrown in jail for a short time.
And that would probably happen if you drag them
the
out
homos
of your church.
Oh, yeah.
You'd probably go to jail for it, but sometimes it's worth it.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Sometimes it's fun. In fact, Doug, what happened in our trial when we had that Denver judgette, that alcoholic?
Grace Graciela de la Baca.
Whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Some made-up name.
She, I forget, but there was some technical difficulty in the courtroom.
Well,
somebody didn't leave or heard the wrong thing.
Did you wear a pro-life shirt or something?
I wore a shadowgov.com shirt.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, I think I remember. The city attorneys in Denver, there were two or three of them trying us.
Yeah.
They were so just disorganized and discombobulated.
They were hungover.
And they thought they had us because we went to a candlelight vigil for St. Matthew of Assisi.
Yeah.
And they figured that they had us culled.
Right.
Because any jury would just nail us.
We were very unpopular.
And so we had the tape of what we did.
Yeah.
It was all on tape. And all we said was, know your pro-choice rights.
Right.
That was it. And so the attorney saying, what else did you say? Well, there's a tape. We didn't say anything else. Just know your pro-choice rights. They were just beside themselves.
Yeah.
And so was the media. The media was like a feeding frenzy. And they, so what did you say? What does the tape say? We said, know your pro-choice rights.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, something simple as that.
What else did you say? That was it?
That was all we said.
Huh?
Yep.
So anyway.
That was enough.
Anyway, at halfway through the trial, when the prosecution rested, we made a motion to dismiss.
Right.
Because the prosecution,
they had no case.
No case.
They had no case.
I mean, you go on public property and you say, know your pro-choice rights.
Right.
And then you almost get swarmed by AIDS-infested sodomites.
Man.
And you get arrested for it. So anyway, she dismissed the charges.
She dismissed it.
And she was furious, too. Because she wanted to send us to Sing Sing.
She knew Bob personally. It was my first encounter with her. But from my understanding, she knew you quite well.
I don't remember.
And she knew that even though you said, know your pro-choice rights, deep down in your black little Christian heart,
you didn't like
those homos.
I was thinking something else.
That's right. You were thinking bad things.
She knew I was thinking something. All right. Bert, hang on. We got a cell phone call we want to go to before we get out of range. On a cell phone, Dan, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, sir.
I'm a truck driver. I drive Buffalo to Chicago, and I listen to you guys.
All right.
For a couple of months now. I also listen to James Dobson a lot.
Yeah.
I was wondering where you got that idea that he was pro-homosexual.
Pro-homosexual?
All right, well, let me address the question as it stands.
Okay.
Okay, Dan, over the years, we sort of take notes when we see Christian leaders. And I love James Dobson. I think he's brought way more people to the Lord than I ever will if I live to be 200. So I really do love him. But even if someone wants to point out in Bob and Yurt Live something we're doing wrong, then I want them to.
Yeah.
I want to somebody to confront me and say, here's what you're doing wrong, Bob. So yeah. The Christian leaders, including James Dobson, have stated that that homosexuals, basically, that they have a right to commit sodomy, a right to be homosexuals. In fact, I have James Dobson in print. I have the date and the time. I've got Beverly LaHaye, Chuck Colson, Gary Bauer, Focus on the Family's Vice President, Tom Minery, all stating that homosexuals should have equal rights, the rights they share with every citizen, and that they would never, Focus on the Family, would never support legislation aimed at depriving homosexuals of their basic rights.
Now,
yeah.
I am absolutely certain that Mr. Dobson is referring to the same rights that you and I and everyone else.
Okay, well, let's talk about. Okay, let's. All right, Dan. Let me give you a few of these quotes real quickly.
All right, go ahead.
All right, you've heard of Chuck Colson, right? He's been on Dobson's show quite often.
I heard of him when he was back with Nixon.
Yeah.
Well, in his newsletter, Breakpoint, May 26, 1993, Chuck Colson, quote, "If homosexuals want to have relationships with people of the same sex in the privacy of their homes, that is their right."
Wow.
All right. Now, all the Christian leaders that I have notes on have echoed that. And in Colorado, we had this amendment, too, trying to enable employers to not hire homosexuals.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
And Focus on the Family's, the slogan of the Christian community, led by Focus practically, and Colorado for Family Values, was equal rights, not special rights.
Wow.
Equal rights, not special rights. And here's the problem. When you commit a crime, you lose your rights, your basic constitutional rights, and then you only have the right to a fair and speedy trial. If you rape a child, you no longer have the right to free speech and the right to travel, the right to carry a gun, the right to hold a job. You don't have those rights. You relinquish your rights when you commit a crime, to some extent, based on the crime. So for Christians to blur the notion that homosexuality is itself a crime, and that homosexuality should be recriminalized, that's tragic. And that's what Focus on the Family has done. And Gary Bauer, you know Gary Bauer, right? He's one of James Dobson's best friends. He's the head of the Family Research Council. He's been on Focus 1,000 times. In Focus's magazine, June 21st, 1993, Gary Bauer says that he's willing to adopt a live and let live attitude toward what homosexuals do in private. So, you know, Mrs. Quintana, who died in a Denver courtroom because a homosexual donated blood and she had a fungus growing in her throat, well, she died because of what some homosexuals were doing in private.
Yeah, so it's a live and let die policy.
Well, I'm pretty disappointed with our politically correct attitude that we, a lot of the people in power anymore have it.
Well, we're coming to a commercial. Hey, we're coming to a commercial break. Right after this break, I'm going to quote Tom Minery for you, Vice President from Focus.
So, Bob, I'm talking to this guy, right?
Yeah.
And I told him that, you know, the Bible is like a criminal justice textbook. Because we were talking about the death penalty. In his community, there's a lot of property crime. He has a real nice house, but bars on his windows.
Yeah.
And I said, isn't it depressing that you have to ugly up your beautiful home and you have to put these bars on the windows? He said, well, people, there's a lot of thieves. There's a lot of criminals. And that gave me the opportunity to talk about the Bible.
Wow.
To this guy. And I am going to send him now the video, God and the Death Penalty. Because I wasn't able to I'm not real good at quoting scripture all the time.
Oh, you are.
I'm not that good at it all the time. But so I want to send him a video called God and the Death Penalty that goes through biblical, New Testament even, support for capital punishment and will reveal to him, this blew his mind, Bob,
yeah,
when I told him that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel.
Whoa!
And that people who mock the death penalty and people who are against the death penalty are mocking God himself and the work of Jesus Christ. And he was blown. He said, I never thought of that.
Whoa, praise the Lord.
And
huh?
I'm
going to
send him
cool.
this video. This is a video that one of the seminal moments of my life was watching God and the death penalty. Blew my mind.
Wow.
At Mount Moriah, too, but we'll get to that later. God and the death penalty. I'm going to be sending this out to this guy because he's a chapter and verse type guy.
$24.95.
Yeah,
a
bargain.
Plus shipping and handling.
A bargain at twice the price.
And money back guarantee.
Money back guarantee.
And you help Bob and your live do another commercial.
Yeah, I just call 1-888-8-NYARD, 1-888-836-9278. Send God and the death penalty. Give this guy chapter and verse on why, how he'll never have to feel guilty about his support of the death penalty again.
Thank you, Doug. Oh, we got another minute?
We got another minute. Now we could go into Mount Moriah.
I thought our break was over.
No,
Mount Moriah. You're going to give Mount Moriah to someone?
I met with a real an intellectual type guy, way smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy who's into evidence. He's also a fan of geology. And we talked about not a young earther, and not yet. I'll work on that too. But and we talked a little bit about Jesus Christ because of some stories that have been in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, you know, there's actually a mountain of evidence, mm-hmm. real evidence, biblical and otherwise, that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. And that you can make an argument based on the Bible and history that, in fact, Jesus did rise from the dead. Well, I didn't have time on the plane to convince him. So I'm going to call 1-888-836-9278, and I'm going to send him Mount Moriah.
Thanks, Doug. All right, Dan's cell phone. We lost Dan's call.
We lost Dan, but he's still listening.
And we'll get back to Bert. But
we want to get the phone number of that church, Bert. Get that ready.
Yeah, he said he mailed us the cover letter, so we'll probably get that. But now, give it out on the air, yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, Doug, here's the vice president. And again, I love James Dobson.
They do great work.
They bring a lot of people to the Lord. They've helped a lot of families stay together. But, you know, they make mistakes occasionally, just as Bob Inyart Live does.
Sure.
And I want somebody to confront us when we make a mistake, when we can't defend what we do biblically. Well, the vice president of Focus on the Family, Tom Minery, I've got a quote here on the front page of the Denver Post, September 19th, 1993. He writes, "Most Americans are willing to tolerate homosexuality, but they are not willing to stand up and applaud it."
That's unfortunate.
Now, what's the point of saying, well, most Americans, is he thinking of himself as a North Korean?
Well.
Right? Is he in the minority? Hmm. He's implying that, hey, we at Focus, we're willing to tolerate. In fact, Focus came right out and said that they would never support any legislation aimed at depriving homosexuals of their basic constitutional rights.
Huh.
Rights they share with every citizen. You mean like the right to be a teacher in a kindergarten class?
That would be my right. I'd have every right to do that.
Right, of course. And the right to be the coach of an eighth grade boys basketball team.
Right. The right to take a group of teenage boys out on a camping trip for a few nights.
Right.
Yeah, we all have those rights.
The right to prepare curriculum for kids.
Yeah.
The right to smooch with one another at a restaurant or at a public park.
We all have those rights. We all share those rights.
Hold hands and walk into any church in America.
Yeah.
You give your wife a little peck on the cheek because she said something cute before church. You give her a little kiss. That's not against the law. You have a right.
Sure, yeah.
And so homosexuals have those rights?
Well,
I asked, remember Colorado for Family Values?
Oh, yeah.
They were the group that spearheaded Amendment 2.
I bought their T-shirt.
And they were on Focus on the Family. And Will Perkins was the founder and Kevin Thibodeau. And I had them on my show, Bob Inyart Live. Through the local and national media, they repeated the refrain, homosexuals should have equal rights, not special rights.
Yeah, it was a catchy slogan.
They did way more than Queer Nation ever could do.
Yeah, they did.
To get Christians to think that homosexuals should have equal rights.
And that we should tolerate them, always.
So I had Will Perkins on my radio show, Bob and Yurt Live, in October of that year, 1993. And I asked him if he would stand with me and call for homosexuality to be recriminalized.
Wow.
And he absolutely, no, there's no way.
No?
No. No.
Did you mention to him that it was against the law for like almost 4,000 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
You made that point.
And that he sided with Hillary against Moses and Jesus and Paul.
Wow.
And he's taking Hillary's side.
So now you got it.
Hillary, right? Hollywood.
And homos.
Homos and the humanists.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Oh, Quad H.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
So he naturally, by the end of the program, he changed his position and he agreed that homosexuality.
No, he never did. And he's a guy, too. I love and appreciate him.
Yeah.
But it's all messed up.
So
it's just, and a former employee of Focus on the Family told me, I jotted down a note, that in the June 1996 newsletter, James Dobson wrote that all homosexuals deserve respect.
Respect.
And dignity.
Dignity. Indeed.
Now, well, dignity is actually not a response. You can't give someone dignity.
Right.
It has to be something they possess.
Right.
It has to be a quality.
Which most homosexuals have stripped themselves of, all dignity.
But respect and dignity, is that how the Bible presents homosexuality, homosexuals?
No.
That they should?
No. In fact, it doesn't even preach tolerance.
No.
No.
No, it preaches things like the death penalty.
Right. Criminal. It's a criminal act.
Yeah, which would have saved tens of thousands of homosexuals from tortured deaths.
Right. And not just due to AIDS.
God
is
more merciful. Right. God is more merciful than the Christian leaders who compromise so that they will be liked.
Well, I got to tell you, Bob, those organizations have been extremely effective in maintaining their political viability.
Well, listen to Beverly LaHaye, Concerned Women of America, 1993, August newsletter, Today's Christian Woman. Quote, "We have nothing to do with denying someone's civil rights." This is an article about homosexuals. "We have nothing to do with denying someone's civil rights or discriminating against them."
Wow.
So if a homosexual wants to rent the spare room in your home that you have advertised,
right,
or you're looking for an employee and a homosexual wants the job,
yeah,
and your kids work in your store, according to Beverly LaHaye, who one of her sons is homosexual, that's tragic, of course, and we grieve with her over that.
Yeah.
But you can't discriminate even? Not only do they have equal rights, you can't even discriminate, according to Concerned Women of America.
Wow.
Gary Bauer, Family Research Council, says that he is willing to adopt a live and let live attitude toward what others do in private. It's just frustrating.
Live and let die.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like we should have military action against Saddam Hussein, but we should let him keep his nukes.
Right.
If he has any, we should let him keep them.
You're right.
Let's concede the foundation of the whole argument first.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
It is tragic.
But
so,
Bob, have you ever started to think that people like you and I are on the absolute total outer fringe of society? I mean, because to say the things that you've said.
What did I say?
Until we make the big score.
Right.
And we have large amounts of cash.
Yeah.
You've eliminated the possibility of a national broadcast career.
Yeah, because why? Because the homosexuals are going to protest against us.
Oh,
anywhere we go. But,
right.
So hey, Bert in Wisconsin.
I respect you greatly for it.
Thank you, Doug. Hey, Bert.
Did you both hear the debate on C-SPAN between Alan Dershowitz and Alan Keyes? It was on this exact topic, and Alan Keyes gave a very powerful biblical response to everything that Dershowitz was standing up for, and it was tolerance. And
Alan Keyes is really cool, and
he's good.
He's just a great orator.
Oh, it was awesome. He was very powerful, and he walked away with his head held high
as
a Christian.
That's neat. He's one of the best leaders to speak against abortion. He's very powerful. So, Bert, what do you think about Chuck Colson? And Chuck Colson, he has his prison fellowship ministry.
Yeah.
He's brought a lot of people to the Lord, I guess.
Okay. Well, whatever. Well, I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, prison conversions are, you know.
Like foxhole conversions.
Yeah, and the problem with a lot of Christian prison ministries is they defend the prison system.
Yeah.
Right.
That's unfortunate.
And God never authorizes putting people in jail as a form of punishment. He only authorizes restitution, corporal punishment, and capital punishment. That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Those three. He doesn't say lock somebody up for 30 years so that you can have an industry of people ministering to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it'd be like fighting the Nazis in the French underground, and you advocate that the Nazis stay in control of the country
right. So
you have job security.
Jobs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So. A prison system is evil. It's inherently immoral.
Right.
We have no authority from God to lock men up like animals for 20 years or 20 months. So anyway, Chuck Colson wrote in his Breakpoint newsletter, if homosexuals want to have relationships with people of the same sex in the privacy of their homes, that is their right.
He's wrong.
Amen, brother.
He's wrong. According to the Bible, it is totally wrong. It's been denounced from day one.
And it's not only a sin, we know it's a sin, but it's also a crime. And it was a crime in this country from the day our 13 colonies were founded. It's been a crime for 3,500 years. And Hillary is the one who decides it should be legal when she was in preschool.
And the Christian churches fold up and line up right behind
her. And they just agree. Hillary said homos should be legal? Okay. Where do I sign?
That's the problem with tolerance. And what this one of the things I wrote to you in the letter was it's very unfortunate that a handful of six homos or homettes can go over there and pull down a full congregation.
Homettes?
And from that point, it infiltrates into the rest of the community.
Yeah.
A little yeast goes through the whole batch.
Bert. Hey, Bert.
Yes.
Do you got the phone number of the homo church?
I don't. I sent it to you, and I did not bother to write it down. I really didn't want it.
Well, it's the United Christian Church.
Yes.
Or something like
on that. On 6th and Broadway in Baraboo.
Baraboo. 6th and Broadway, Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Yes.
How do you spell United Baraboo?
B-A-R-A-B-O-O.
Oh, just like it sounds. So you know what?
You could go
on the Yahoo Yellow Pages and find their number.
You probably could if you were talented.
If we're able to go on Yahoo Yellow Pages and change our location to Baraboo, Wisconsin, and look up the United Christian Church, then we would have to hope that we don't get some conservative right-wing church.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The United Christian Church, I mean, it could be just about anyone. We wouldn't want to call and offend anybody
right.
In a good, solid, Bible-believing
right.
church.
Right. Wait for the newsletter and the press release. It's on there, and they welcome responses. I thought it would be fun for you guys to respond.
Thanks, Bert. We're going to get that out. Can we pick up this last call in Canada, Raymond?
All right, real quick. Raymond, speak your mind.
Hey, I'm not sure if you guys have heard about the bill actually probably haven't heard about it, but the bill that's going to be passed through or is being read through Parliament now about it's going to be illegal in Canada to spread any sort of what's considered hate propaganda
in other words, quoting the Bible against homosexuality could be against the law in Canada.
Quite possibly.
Hey, Raymond, right. Bob Enyart was way ahead of the curve. His show was banned in Canada. It, like 7 years ago.
Well,
Bob's way out ahead of the crowd.
The broadcasting bureaucracy in Canada would not allow Bob and Your Live to broadcast there.
Right.
For the same reasons, Raymond. For the same reasons.
That's terrible.
Thank you for telling us. We're fighting this battle all over the world. God bless you, Raymond.
God bless you.
Appreciate the call.
Good to have a guy like Raymond give us some hope for Canada.
Our neighbors to the north.
Yeah.
Yeah, some Canadians have not lost it.
No, but most Americans have, including the Christian leaders, Bob. That's sort of that goes back to 1993. And if you think about it, the impact that's had over the past 9 years
mm-hmm.
has been to normalize homosexuality, even in the Christian community.
That's right. All right. Hey, Doug, we're out of time. Thanks for joining me on Friday night.
It's a fun time.
This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right.